It's 10 p.m. on the 26th of January, and you're listening to the Circle Day Show on Resonance FM.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you're dumping your baby. What's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist.
Just over 22 years ago, an uprising in southern Mexico inspired activists around the world and was one of the things that helped to kick off the so-called anti-globalization movement that dominated radical politics for the next few years. It's been a couple of years since the Circle Day Show has looked at what's going on in the Zapatista communities in Chiapas. So just before Christmas, I met with Leah from the Manchester Zapatista Collective to talk about what's going on at the moment, look back a bit, and talk about what the international community can do to help people who are still trying to change the world in which they live.
Well, my name is Leah. I'm from the Manchester Zapatista Collective, and among all the different Zapatista collectives in the UK, we are organized as the UK Zapatista Network. Zapatismo, or the Zapatistas, are autonomous communities in the south of Mexico who became very famous, really, before they even became autonomous communities. They became famous because of an uprising of a guerrilla group called the Ejército Zapatista para la Liberación Nacional, so the Zapatista Army for National Liberation. And they did an uprising on 1st January 1994. And the reason, after organizing in secret for 12 years, and the reason why they did the uprising on that particular day was that that was the day that the North America Free Trade Agreement came into force, and so that would have opened the door to privatizing land, and that would have meant immense cultural changes for the indigenous communities in that area. And so they did an uprising, recuperated a lot of land in Chiapas, then started after the Mexican civil society had pretty much asked them to in large demonstrations. They decided to enter into peace negotiations with the Mexican government. Arrived with them at the San Andres Peace Accords, but those were eventually betrayed by the government, and so this guerrilla group, the EZLN, decided to give space to the communities that were their support bases to organize themselves. And so they sort of unilaterally, you could say, set up the structure that they had actually agreed on in the San Andres Peace Accords. And what that means is that they have their own government councils, they have their own decision-making processes, so they basically govern themselves. They have their own education system, their own healthcare system, they have their own justice system, their own security forces, they don't take any money from the government, and they have their own international connections with their solidarity movements. And these connections started pretty much right away in 94. Then several encounters were organized. Encounters means basically big meetings. And so the Zapatistas initiated several of these encounters where lots of different people came from all over the world to connect with each other, to learn from each other, and to learn from the Zapatistas. And that basically was the seed of a solidarity movement, which exists until today. And then in 2005, a new focus was given to that solidarity movement with the Sixth Declaration of the Lacandon Jungle. So the guerrilla group has always issued declarations, and one of their commanders, the subcommander Marcos, who now no longer exists, but he was someone who acted as their spokesman for a very long time until last year. And he's a very eloquent person, and so he wrote a lot of communiques and public letters and stories and all sorts of public speeches. And then also the group as a whole issued declarations. And so the Sixth Declaration was one that gave sort of... It's like a basis for solidarity, but solidarity not understood as charity, but as a way of all of us changing the world according to the same principles of democracy, freedom, justice, and dignity in our different calendars and in our different geographies according to our ways. This is how I put it.
Thinking back to, I suppose, when I got first involved in radical politics at that time in the 90s, the Zapatistas were absolutely up there for the global justice movement, so-called anti-globalization movement. Zapatistas were one of the main inspirations, and as a result were on the agenda of parts of the media, and a lot of information was coming out. So the Zapa tour, the San Andreas talks, even the visit of the Pope back in the think 2000. Very little information now is being picked up, apart from, I think, the last piece of news that was really came out was when Marcos ceased to exist. What's happening on the ground now? It's been developing for 22 years in public. The public isn't really interested in anymore. What's actually going on the ground at the moment?
Well, there's a public that's very interested. There's a community, there's groups of people, there's networks of people who are very interested and who keep going and who keep organizing and who are doing lots of things. It's just that we probably think about visibility in a slightly different way. So it's like, you know, when the Zapatistas first started wearing the balaclavas, which a lot of people think is sort of quite scary and off-putting. But what it really is a way of not trying to be individualistic. And also of doing your work of change by working rather than by being very visible and making big speeches and creating like a big stir. They are very active, and they have, especially over the last 2 years, a lot of things have been happening. People can always connect to the Zapatista groups through the UK Zapatistas website. So there's certain, most groups have newsletters and so on. If people want to subscribe to those, they can just contact the groups. But just to give a little bit of an overview, I mentioned that in 2005 they issued the Sixth Declaration. By that time, they had founded the Good Government Councils, and they were setting up their own education system and all these other achievements that I mentioned. And so for them, that is building autonomy, right? So they are building their own autonomous communities in Chiapas, and those are going very strong. They're very very committed people who have managed to make life a lot more dignified for those who live in these communities. They are, of course, constantly under attack by those who oppose their projects. So there are a lot of problems with paramilitary groups or with other communities who live on that territory and who are not Zapatista being sort of incited to try and get rid of the Zapatista communities, to arrest them. There, several people have been killed, some people are in jail, and there's constant sort of threat of displacement by these other communities who want to sort of get rid of the Zapatistas. Despite all this, they've still managed to build on all the work they've done before. So, of course, in the communities, the people who are now being the education promoters or the educators and the health promoters and who are now serving on the good government councils, on the rotas, are the ones who were children when the uprising happened. So you have a whole new generation of people coming through who don't really remember life before the uprising. So who are very energetic, very very committed and lively young people who are taking that project forward. And in terms of their international sort of connections, they've been, especially over the past year, they've been 2 years, they've been very active. In 2013, in summer, starting in summer, and then also over Christmas and New Year, they ran what is known as the Escuelita, so the little school. And for this, they invited members of the solidarity movement into the communities, and they lived for Zapatista families, which wasn't really done before. Before you could go as a human rights observer, but you didn't really live with the family. So there, in 2013, during the Escuelita, you went and lived with the family. And during those 5 days that you were there, they would show you around, they would show you, for example, their schools, they would show you the collective work that they did, which is different in each of these communities. You had to study. They produced textbooks, basically, which are available on the internet and anyone can read them. And they collected contributions and testimonies of the different people who had been involved in all. Well, their territory is divided in 5 areas called caracoles. That means caracoles, it's like the house of a snail, so a spiral. So it's 5 of those. So in each of them, they selected people to speak about different subjects. And so that was sort of also a very different way of thinking about knowledge and how you educate, how they educate their supporters from the Mexican cities and other areas of Mexico and from the global north and from Asia and Africa, because there are people from all over the place. So they did that. They then wanted to organize the year after that, in 2014, a seminar on critical thinking, but that had to be postponed for 1 year because of the assassination of one of the people who had helped in the, or had been a part of the first little school. So they postponed this until May this year, but then they did it. So the Seminar for Critical Thinking in the Face of the Capitalist Hydra is basically the other with a capital O conference, so to speak, where members from the EZLN and from the different communities and then lots of other people they'd invited came and gave talks and engaged in debates basically on analysis and critical thinking in the face of the capitalist hydra. That was in May. Five months before that, over the new year, they'd organized the Festival of Resistances and Rebellions. And then this past summer, they organized the second grade of the Escuelita, which was carried out over 2 videos over the internet.
You were talking them there, just to focus a little bit more on the kind of challenges they face. You're talking about the violence that's been a part of their life forever. That's one of the reasons they want to self-organize. say, in recent years, that's something that's become much more widespread in Mexico and affecting everyone. It's become one of the most violent states on earth. But one of the things that I saw, and presumably was part of the discussion about capitalism and Hydra, is that Mexico trying to rebuild its tourist economy on the back of that. Building very large hotels in different places, spreading out from the traditional spring break type holiday spots in Mexico and actually promoting the whole country. Is that having an effect on what people are trying to build there? Is it starting to spread everywhere? And are these communities facing a danger from attempts to commercialize the land on which they live in a new way that they haven't faced before?
Well, as you say, there've always been attacks on their land. And Chiapas specifically is very rich in natural resources. So for the Zapatista communities, it was always a key factor, which was part of the reason why the government in the end refused to implement the San Andres Accords, to have control over their own natural resources or the natural resources on their territory. As you say, at the moment, there's a lot going on in Chiapas specifically in terms of the tourism industry, and that has a lot of connection to the UK in the sense of the UK being one of the targets where the Mexican government most badly wishes to whitewash its image. And also to project an image of Mexico as a country open for consumption. So it's basically, if you critically look at all these tourism images, all the advertisement that's around there, it's, of course they're very glossy and very photoshopped and all that, and it's always about, well, you can go there and basically everything's for sale, and because you're from the global north and you have a different currency, everything will basically be like at your feet, you know, very, very imperialist in that way. Now in Chiapas specifically, there's a project called the Mundo Maya. It's a tourism mega project which does not only include Chiapas but also reaches further south, and it's a project that seeks to open up, in quotation marks, Chiapas to all sorts of tourism, and maybe they particularly highlight ecotourism. What that means is that they want to build roads which some of the communities, who, especially Zapatista communities or communities affiliated with the Zapatistas, who live by these roads and actually want to get the toll, which is charged for this road, but the government, of course, doesn't want them to have it. It also means that in some areas there are plans to build luxury hotels and developments which the communities don't want. And one community which has particularly suffered from that is the community San Sebastian Bachajón. Now, San Sebastian Bachajón have signed the Sixth Declaration, but they're not Zapatista support base. Yeah, so that means they don't. There are certain things which the Zapatista autonomous communities have that they don't have, but they are members of the Sixth Declaration. And they live by a waterfall called the Blue Water Cascades, Aguas Azules. And as part of the Mundo Maya, there's a plan to build an ecotourism project there. But this community doesn't want an ecotourism project by the waterfalls. If there's any touristic development, and they say they are the ones who want to organize it and run it, but they don't want it anyway. Now, in that area, there are also other communities who are not Zapatistas, who do not oppose, some do oppose, some do not oppose that project. But what has happened is that that community, San Sebastián Machajón, has been targeted. Two people have been killed. And several people are in jail. And they are constantly under threat of displacement from the land that they live on and which they do not wish to give up. But which they will have to leave if that project, that tourism project, is to be built there. Now, the Mundo Maya, in particular, was advertised in the context of the UK-Mexico year, which we are supposedly still in it, so it was this past year. So the Mexican government organized a number of... a whole series, many different events, some of which... gave publicity and publicized and advertised rather dubious project like the Mundo Maya. So the way they do this is that, for example, in the Liverpool World Museum, there was a beautiful archaeological exhibition about the Maya. Nothing wrong with the exhibition. The exhibition was wonderful. It criticized colonialism. Criticized imperialism. It brought beautiful archaeological pieces to Liverpool. But upon leaving the exhibition, you found a flyer with publicity for the Mundo Maya, the Maya world. And Aguas Azules, the Blue Water Cascades, were actually on there. And there was no information to the contrary about these things. There were other projects like that as well. For example, there have been many actions about the new airport that is supposed to be built in Mexico City. One of the groups that opposes that is also affiliated with the Sixth Declaration. Very serious human rights violations have already taken place there in 2006 in San Salvador Atenco, and the idea of the airport, the plan was then shelved, and now they've taken it back up. The office of Norman Foster is the one who's designing it. So there's an immediate connection to the UK with that one. And in the context of the Mexico-UK year, they managed to place an event with RIBA, so the Royal Institute for British Architecture, which was about this airport building, but looked at it purely as a design project. Yeah. Again, everything else that had happened there was conveniently swept, it wasn't mentioned. So the Mexican government is really on a very strong publicity campaign. And some of the solidarity groups in the UK, or some of the Zapatista groups in the UK, have done actions about that. For example, there was one in the British Museum by the London Mexico Solidarity Group. It was really a machinery that unfolded there in that Mexico UK year. There were academic events as well. So it was you could see that they'd given a lot of effort to that project of trying to whitewash their image and appearing as a democratic country, which is fighting crime and fighting organized crime, notwithstanding the record of human rights violations, the transgressions, the dispossession, and especially the impunity. In the country, impunity meaning that impunity means that also there isn't it doesn't only mean that crimes go unpunished, but it also means that they aren't properly investigated by legal institutions. Yeah, so the ones who are now investigating the crimes are the journalists. Yeah, who are then being targeted, with the journalists and the human rights activists and environmental activists, so who are among the most targeted populations in Mexico. Right? So all these investigations that should actually be carried out by courts and by the judicial the legal sector, and actually being carried out by them properly. They're being carried out by others who are then targeted for carrying them out. And the Mexico-UK year was an attempt to sort of hide all that and whitewash it, and present the Mexican government in a very different way, and hide all these acts of violence which are constantly taking place in Mexico. If anyone is interested, the human rights organization Fray Bartolomé de las Casas, also known as FRAIBA, they translate much of their material in English, so much of that is available on their website. And they also have quite a few cases of the Zapatistas or Zapatista-affiliated communities like San Sebastián Machacón.
Just to wrap up then, very quickly, in the next year or so, what would you like to see?
Get organized. Coordinate with each other. Get in touch with us. Read the Sixth Declaration. See if you can do something with that. It doesn't mean that you have to become a Mexico solidarity group, because that's not the way we do things. But let's think. Let's think about this other world, which is now also very, very necessary. And especially get organized. Coordinate, connect.
And that's it for this week. Your dad will be back next week. Big thanks to Leah for the interview, and to play us out, here's Los de Abajo, a Mexican band who have long been big supporters of the Zapatistas.
La sangre se derrama, por allá, por acá.